time to talk sports, and we turn to our very own Michael Coe. Michael, welcome back to the Piedmont.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. It was a long trip in D.C., but glad to be back.
You took the train, is that right?
That is correct. I took the train. I took a big train to get up to D.C., and I took several smaller trains to get around D.C., so I was riding the rails a lot.
So how was your train experience?
It was good, yeah. It's nice to sort of be able to relax on that longer train ride, and you know, there's less security than at an airport. It's just less hustle and bustle than at an airport. So it was a nice relaxation.
Yeah, I feel I don't know that I've ever actually taken a train for work purposes before, and I find myself very jealous. So.
Yeah, well, you know, that's also a function of where we live, but that's a discussion another day.
It's true. That is a whole other discussion with a bunch of facets. Let's talk basketball, though. How was the basketball part of the tournament for you?
Yeah, it was great. Definitely a memorable tournament for a lot of reasons. I think whenever the tournament moves out of North Carolina, people are concerned about atmosphere. But the atmosphere in D.C. was great. It wasn't full every day, but it was certainly full for the championship game. There were a lot of Tar Heel fans there. Obviously, D.C. is a big landing spot for UNC alumni. So I do think D.C. is an acceptable alternative for when the ACC wants to move out of North Carolina for a year or so, but not Brooklyn. Brooklyn, from what I hear, was bad. I think it needs to be either Washington, Charlotte, Greensboro, or Atlanta. Those are the only four places it can go.
Seems like a reasonable rotation, actually.
Yeah, and you know, the purists always be like, it should always be in Greensboro, but you need some variety in there every now and then. I believe it's going to be in Charlotte for the next 2 years, which should be fun.
That should be fun. Speaking of being in Charlotte.
There you go. Hey, yeah, I set you up perfectly.
There we go. UNC finds themselves, in spite of losing in the championship game to their kid brother, they still get that number one seed and get to play in Charlotte. So would you like to talk any about the NC State game, or should we just look ahead?
No, I mean, we could talk about it. I mean, it was certainly a memorable night, very memorable for State. There were a lot of State fans there, which I was surprised about. I did wonder if, you know, a lot of them had just come up that morning because, you know, they obviously weren't expecting to be in the tournament final. But you know, it was a very memorable game, well played by NC State, and for Carolina, it clearly did not hurt their seeding because they came in tracking to be the fourth overall number one, and that's where they ended up on Selection Sunday, and it got an additional ACC team in the tournament. So I see this as an absolute win for both sides. I don't think Carolina should count this as a loss in the record book. They should just count this as a win. You know, they magnanimously granted NC State the automatic bid for the ACC.
Everyone wins.
That's right.
It didn't look so magnanimous on Saturday.
No, it did not. Yeah, NC State played really well. Carolina came out, and they just didn't have the intensity that you need to beat a team that is desperate, because even if State had, you know, they had won those four games in 4 days, but they still needed to win the championship to get into the tournament. And so I think it's a lesson for Carolina moving forward into the NCAA tournament, that if you don't come out with that fire every game, then you have a chance of getting beat, even in the first round. We saw that with Purdue last year.
I feel like there's a way that Carolina could have lost this game where there was like we're going into the tournament like this. I don't feel like that's the case after this one. It felt like NC State was playing really well. Carolina could have done some things differently, probably, but it didn't feel like panic mode. It's not like we're Duke right now, right?
Yeah, no, it certainly wasn't a blowout, and you know, Carolina, you know, hung around until the very end when they just couldn't keep up. And as you said, State played really well. It wasn't like it was a slog like they were playing Virginia or something like that. So, like you said, there's silver linings. The players seemed, you know, like they knew what lessons to take from that game in the locker room. Harrison Ingram straight up said, yeah, I think I got complacent. I think I may have overlooked them. RJ Davis is already talking about the response. And, you know, they had that watch party at Coach Davis's house. And so I think they're fully moved on and ready to rock.
Speaking of watch parties, are you having a Howard Wagner watch party tomorrow night?
On True TV on Tuesday night. I don't know. We'll see.
What are you feeling now with the placement, the number one seed, looking ahead to the NCAA tournament? How are you feeling?
Yeah, it's an interesting region. I'm certainly glad that Carolina is not in the East, which they could have been if they were a number two seed, because that region is going to be an absolute dogfight. You have UConn as the one, and then you have teams like Auburn, which could have been a much higher seed, and they're the number four, so they could meet UConn in the Sweet 16, and Iowa State, the top two seed, who just... Or actually, I guess they're quote-unquote the lowest two seed, but they just destroyed Houston in the Big 12 championship, so that's a tough region. But Carolina, they've got Baylor at the number three. They've got Alabama at the number four. I think Carolina's better than both of those teams. Obviously, Arizona at number two, you've got all the storylines with Caleb Love, and the NCAA can claim that this is not about TV. Like, yeah, right, okay. You want a Caleb Love versus RJ Davis showdown in the Elite Eight for the right to go to the Final Four. But the thing about Arizona is, and you could almost say this about Carolina too, is that Arizona has been so volatile this season that they have lost to several teams that they should not have lost to. They lost to Oregon in the semifinals of the Pac-12 tournament. Oregon was not going to be in the NCAA tournament before they won the Pac-12, and now they're in. They lost to a pretty terrible Oregon State team earlier this season. They lost to Washington State, a good team, but not as good as Arizona. So they can beat anyone in the country. They have proven that, but they can also lose to anyone in the country. So they could get to the Elite Eight, but I would certainly not be surprised if Arizona lost before getting the chance to play Carolina in the Elite Eight, if Carolina advances to the Elite Eight.
So you like Carolina's chances getting there more than Arizona's, it sounds like?
I think so. I think Carolina, a matchup with Michigan State in the second round would certainly be interesting. Michigan State certainly doesn't have as much talent, I don't think, as Carolina does, and they've had a very up-and-down season. But Tom Izzo can coach in March. You know that. I know that.
Yeah, you don't want to play at Michigan State in the tournament ever under any circumstance, no matter how bad they seem.
Yeah, Tom Izzo, he's done this before. He has taken worse Michigan State teams farther in the tournament. So that certainly could be interesting. I think Mississippi State, who Michigan State plays in the first round, they're a dangerous team. They destroy Tennessee in the SEC tournament, and we know how good Tennessee is. So I think one of those two teams in the round of 32, that could pose some problems for Carolina. I think if they get past that game, and of course this is assuming that they beat Howard or Wagner in the first round, I would like their chances in the Sweet 16 against a team like Alabama, who has a good offense but not a very good defense. So they're a pretty, you know, volatile up and down team, and they play up and down, which is what Carolina likes to do. So I would like their chances there. But again, this is March. You really never know what's going to happen. I picked Purdue and Arizona to go to the Final Four last year, and they both lost in the first round. So.
I counseled you so hard against picking Purdue.
You did. And so I'll take that into account this year. And you watch. This is the year that Purdue finally does the thing, goes to the Final Four.
I would not count on it.
Yeah, we'll see. I have my doubts about them, as does, it seems like, 85% of the country.
So to your point earlier about Carolina, other than the other teams in the region, everybody wants to see that Arizona-Carolina matchup,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't know if Carolina wants to see it. I know that Caleb Love would love to see it. But yeah, it's certainly, you know, the NCAA executives, they knew what they were doing. And if it does come to that, I think that would be an Arizona-heavy crowd, because it's the West region. It's in Los Angeles, so it's a lot closer to Tucson than it is to Chapel Hill. And obviously, Arizona would be playing for a chance to not only go to the Final Four, but basically have a home game in the Final Four, because the Final Four is in Glendale, Arizona this year. So they would love to be playing basically a home game in the national semifinals after playing a home game in the Elite Eight. So if Carolina does get that far, it would be, I think, the rare time when Carolina's on a neutral site and their fans are not the majority in the building. So that would be a loud atmosphere.
We're speaking with ChapelBarrow.com and 97.9 The Hill sports reporter Michael Coe. Any other thoughts on the men's team before we take a quick look at the women's tournament?
Yeah, I just think people will overreact to the NC State loss in the ACC championship. I think not only because Carolina hasn't won the ACC tournament in a while, it's been since 2016, but also because it's NC State and Carolina fans don't like losing to them. But as you said, it wasn't a loss where there are a lot of alarm bells going off. It's a loss that you can learn from, and it was a feel-good story for NC State. They got into the tournament, got a fifth ACC team in there. So I would not overreact too much to that. Obviously, they would have loved to have won the game, but it does give them sort of a fire under their rear ends going into the NCAA tournament, where they're saying, oh, if we don't come out with our hair on fire every day, we could lose to anyone. So I do think it may be a good thing in the long run.
There's always things can always turn around in the NCAA tournament in a hurry, but you have to look at the women's team and think they were expecting that they were going to be somewhere a little bit higher seeded at the start of the season going into this NCAA tournament.
Yeah, certainly. You know, there's a lot that's gone on for the women's team this season. You look at the injuries, you look at some of the games that they've lost, and there's a lot of stuff that has gone wrong. But I think the fact that they had a lot of good wins on their schedule is a credit to the players on the players that are playing on the team and Courtney Banghart. It's the fourth straight year they've made the NCAA tournament. Obviously, I think this is probably the toughest draw for them. Not with their first round game. I think they can beat Michigan State, but you look at the team that they are grouped with in the second round, and that is almost certainly going to be number one overall seed, undefeated South Carolina. They'd be playing them in Columbia on the Gamecocks' home court. South Carolina obviously won in Chapel Hill earlier this season, and that is going to be tough. That is the toughest game in all of women's college basketball to play, is at South Carolina. I think UNC could play the perfect game, and they would probably still lose that game. But you would like to see them try. I think that game in Chapel Hill was pretty competitive. Dawn Staley said afterward that, yeah, you know, the last few times we've played North Carolina, it's been in North Carolina, so we've got to get them down to South Carolina. And so she got her wish. So I think that would be a fun game to watch, at least just for the experience of getting to test yourself against the best of the best in women's college basketball. Might not be a fun final score, but I do think that is what Courtney Banghart wants. She wants to see how her team does against the team in women's college basketball, and that is South Carolina.
On the one hand, it's like, well, if you're going to win a national championship, you're going to have to play South Carolina anyway.
Yeah, eventually.
On the other hand, you wouldn't necessarily have to play them at South Carolina, which is kind of a, you know, it was one of the criticisms of the NCAA tournament for decades that they, you know, it hasn't been that way for decades at this point. Yeah. But it seems like a bit of a problem on the women's side where top teams get to play home games in the tournament.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Courtney Banghart has said that there has been discussion of moving the women's NCAA tournament to an all neutral site event, sort of how the men's tournament does it. That would require a lot more logistics than I think the NCAA is willing to give the women's college basketball tournament because, hey, just 2 years ago they moved it from we have four separate Sweet 16 and Elite Eight sites to let's just do two Sweet 16 and Elite Eight sites for some reason, even though the women's college basketball tournament is bringing in more money than ever before. So you'd think they would be able to afford four separate round of 16 and Elite Eight sites. But, you know, that it's just a thing where they're not willing to devote as many resources to the women's game as they are to the men's game, which is a shame because the women's game is on fire right now. The star power is electric. But like you said, teams like South Carolina have earned the right to host, and they are doing well in this format, and it's going to be a challenge for North Carolina. I'm just assuming that they're going to beat Michigan State in the first round. I feel like we did this in the ACC tournament when they were playing Miami in the 8-9 game, and then they turned around and lost. So they might not even beat the Spartans, but if they did, I would be interested to see just how UNC looks in the opening minutes of that game against the Gamecocks, because it's an intimidating environment down there.
Well, we'll have all that action for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. Michael, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I would just say that we're entering some of the most fun 3 weeks of the sporting calendar when the NCAA tournament starts, and you've also got, you know, college baseball ramping up, Major League Baseball ramping up, so this is a fun time to be a sports fan.
I would even argue that this might, in fact, be the most wonderful time of the year.
Maybe, we need to record umbrage. A song. Yes. You need to record a song.
Michael, thanks as always, and take care.
Yep, thank you.